Good morning. I have a few announcements before we start the service. Our Time, Talent, and Treasure auction is starting next Sunday. It will run for 3 Sundays. In addition, each Sunday there will be a raffle item, which will be set up in the foyer. The first raffle will be one of Paula Hillman's famous pies. We have many fun auction donations, including wine tasting, Halloween party, bed and breakfast at the Hudson Farm, murder mystery, game night, southern dinner, barn concert, art classes, writing classes, handmade poncho, which I think Lynn is featuring today. Where's Lynn? Is she here? Maybe not. Please get your donations in as soon as possible so they can be organized and ready to bid on for next week. There are forms in the social hall, or you can email Lynn Smith. Details are in the order of service. Today's designated collection will be for Kettle Moraine Food Pantry. Loose bills and coins and any checks with Kettle Moraine Food Pantry on the memo line will go to the food pantry. Today's order of service includes announcements of other upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. To stay current on services, events, and activities, check our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you have with you today as we begin our service. Thank you.
Every day is a new beginning. Every moment a new chance. Not to make everything that's wrong in your life or in your world right all at once, but to start again, to begin to make things right, to begin to make things new, to simply begin. Today is your day. You've already made the decision to be here this morning. What else will you decide today? These are the days of awe and wonder, and the possibilities are absolutely endless. So come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Please join in singing our chalice lighting song. The words are printed in your order of service. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, number 95 in the gray hymnal, There Is More Love Somewhere.
Oh,
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to bring a message of hope and grace to an imperfect world. My name is Claire Johnson, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. No matter who you are or where you've come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have found the light, and those who prefer to walk in the dark, and those who have forgotten what drawer they put the flashlight. As a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, find out more about our church. We are glad that you have chosen to be here today to celebrate and worship with us.
Thank you.
One of the ways that we care for our wider community is by contributing to the food pantries in the communities around us. And we contribute both financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items. So if you've brought food items to share, please bring them forward at this point, or ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite all the children to stay up front and enjoy a story with our worship associate, Claire Johnson.
Good morning. Today's story is titled Oscar Cat About Town, and it's by James Herriot. Okay. I looked at the stray cat which a gentle little girl had brought to my examining room. He was very pretty with stripes of auburn, gold, and gray. But he looked terribly thin and ill. The little girl said that nobody knew where the cat had come from, so she left him with me. With my wife Helen by my side, I examined him thoroughly and found that he was suffering from starvation. But the strange thing was that he purred loudly all the time. He's so weak that he can hardly stand, but he's purring, I said. You can see he's a good-natured cat. For a few days, Helen gave him beef broth and milk to make him strong, and when he walked into the kitchen to eat some of Sam's dinner of meat and biscuits, we knew he was well again. We shall call him Oscar, Helen said. You mean you want to keep him? Yes, he's a lovely, friendly cat, and so pretty. And since we don't know who owns him, he must stay with us. He and Sam seemed to get along so well. Oscar purred his approval, and his big purr became part of our lives. Oscar had been with us for several weeks, and when I came home and found Helen looking very worried, "It's Oscar. He's gone," she said. "What do you mean?" "I think he's run away." I became worried, too, because I knew he had run away from somewhere before we found him, and it made me sad to think that we might be going to lose our cat after we had grown so fond of him. In the darkness, Helen and I searched all over the garden and the lane behind the house. Then, although it had begun to rain heavily, we began to explore the streets and side alleys of the little town of Derrowby. After 2 hours, we could not find him, and Helen had tears in her eyes. "I think we'd better go home, Jim," she said. "He's gone. I know he has." On our way home, we passed the brightly lit window of the Women's Institute Hall. I stopped suddenly. "I think I can see Oscar in there," I cried. We both peered in through the window, and to our delight, we could see our cat among the ladies. We ran inside. There was a hat-making competition in progress. Various ladies were lined up, wearing some very original and pretty hats. Oscar was walking along with the judge, listening to her comments and examining each hat as though he himself were an expert. Sometimes he jumped up in the air to have a closer look. When we were able to reach Oscar, he was delighted to see us and purred and rubbed around our legs. One of the ladies said that he had been there for the whole evening and he had seemed to enjoy himself thoroughly. It was lovely to have him back, but one afternoon, a week later, he disappeared again. Helen and I looked everywhere, and again we were just giving up hope when we heard two women speaking as they came out of Derrowby's town hall. "Did you see that funny cat in there?" one of them said, laughing. "I've never seen one like him." Helen and I looked at each other and then hurried into the hall where a rummage was taking place. And there was Oscar right in the thick of things. He was stepping daintily among the display tables, inspecting the old shoes, books, pictures, ornaments, crockery, and he looked really happy. Now and then he cocked his head to one side when something caught his fancy. Once more it was clear that he was enjoying every moment, and we didn't want to disturb him. But the sale was soon over, and he greeted us with joy. When he went missing again on the following Saturday, we were not so worried because we knew he would be at some gathering. Derby School is playing Wickley School at soccer today, Helen said. We rushed around to the soccer field, and as we expected, Oscar was there among the spectators, running along the line, following the ball, jumping up and down and cheering. We let him enjoy himself for a while before bringing him home, and then we had a chat by the fireside. Now we know, said Helen. I nodded. Yes, when he disappears, he isn't running away at all. He's just visiting. He likes getting around. He loves people, especially in groups, and he's interested in what they do. He's a natural mixer. Helen looked down at our cat. Of course, that's it. He's a socialite. Exactly, a high stepper, a swinger, a cat about town. We both laughed, not only because it was a funny idea, but because we were relieved that Oscar wasn't going to run away after all. Oscar seemed to be laughing, too, as he looked up at us, adding his loud, throbbing purr to the merriment. We were all happy, and everything seemed to be perfect. But a few days later, we received an unexpected blow. I was finishing my office hours. I looked around the door of the waiting room and saw only a man and two little red-headed boys. Helen came in and began to tidy the magazines on the table. The man had a rough, weathered face of a farmer, and he twirled a cloth cap nervously in his hands. Mr. Harriet, he said, my name is Sepp Gibbons, and I think you've got my cat. What makes you think that? I asked in surprise. Well, when we moved from Derby to Wickley, the cat went missing. We thought he might be trying to find his way back to his old home. We hunted everywhere, but we couldn't find him. My boys were brokenhearted. They loved their cat. But why do you think we've got him? Well, my boys were playing soccer here last week, and they are sure they spotted him watching the game. He always liked to be with people, go to meetings and social events, so I just had to come and find out. This cat you lost, I asked, what did he look like? Some sort of tabby with gingery stripes. He was very handsome. My heart thumped. It sounded very much like Oscar. I could see that Helen was worried, too. Just a moment, she said. Oscar's in the kitchen. I'll bring him through. When she returned with the cat in her arms, the little boys called out, Tiger! Oh, Tiger! Tiger! That's our cat, all right, said Mr. Gibbons. And doesn't he look well? The boys called him Tiger because of his gingery stripes. He looked at the two boys, flopped happily on the floor as Oscar, purring loudly with delight, rolled around with them. The boys used to play with him like that for hours. They cried a lot when we lost him. Well, Mr. Gibbons, said Helen with a catch in her voice, you'd better take him. He was your cat first, and you searched for him so hard. And I can see that the boys love him. Well, that's very kind of you. Please come and see him whenever you like. Wickley is only 20 miles away. And he picked up Oscar, and they left. We missed Oscar terribly, but we knew that we had done the right thing. He really belonged to the Gibbons family, who loved him and would be kind to him. One afternoon, we were out shopping on the nearby town, and I looked at my watch. It's only 5 o'clock. Why don't we go see Oscar at Wickley? It's not far from here. The Gibbons cottage was at the far end of Wickley Village, and when Mrs. Gibbons opened the door to us, she didn't know who we were. But when she heard the name Harriet, she was delighted to see us. Come in and have a cup of tea, she said. We went inside and were greeted by Sepp and the boys. As Mrs. Gibbons busied herself with the kettle, we looked eagerly around the room for Oscar, and within a few moments he trotted in. He took one look at Helen, then jumped into her lap and rubbed his face against her hand. He knows me! He knows me! Helen cried in delight. Yes, Sepp said. You were kind to him, and he'll never forget you, and we won't either. I tickled the cat's cheek as he lay curled happily on Helen's lap. However, after about half an hour, he gave her a final rub and purr, and then jumped down and trotted from the room into the back garden. Mrs. Gibbons laughed. He still goes visiting. Let's see, Thursday, isn't it? That's when he goes to the brass band practice at the village hall. It's just next door, and he slips through a hole in the hedge. Oh, let's go see him, Helen said. We'll pop around there when we've finished our tea, said Mrs. Gibbons. In the village hall, we all stood in a row and watched Oscar moving amongst the band players, jumping in delight at each boom from the drum, creeping close to the side of the trombone when it seemed to fascinate him. There's Oscar, I said. There's Tiger, said one of the boys, and we all laughed. It doesn't matter what we call him, said Sepp. He belongs to all of us now. Thank you for enjoying my story.
And could I have our lantern bearer? May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And would you all help me in singing the children to their classrooms? The song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are in your order of service. What makes our church a church is not the building or the minister or the services, but the community of individuals who have decided to learn and grow together. And from time to time this year, we're going to have individuals from the congregation share a little bit about their journey and their passion with all of us during a service. Today, we will be hearing from member Christy Bowden. Christy, if I could have you come forward.
So many of you today. I've always been sort of in between the lines. When my brothers played together with matchbox cars, I had tea parties with my stuffed animals. When my friends were finding who they were while they were away at college, I became a young mother and a wife. When my kids' friends' parents befriended each other, I was trying to make ends meet, working two jobs and attending school. At work, while my colleagues went out for Friday night happy hours, I rushed home at 5 o'clock to get my kids from daycare. Through all this, I tried to continue my Catholic upbringing and regularly attended church. Well, many churches, actually. I struggled to find a place where I fit in. It was a futile effort. There were many infractions against me according to the Catholic faith. And although I was told I was accepted, I felt that people looked at me differently. I didn't receive the warm smiles that other families offered each other. I was an outsider trying to get in. These are the kinds of displacements that shaped much of my life experience. Through all this, I was constantly trying to change myself, to fit in. I jammed my square self into round holes. I ground down the corners that made me a unique person until I was maimed. And people saw that even though I could make myself jump through their round holes, I was still just a square, a disfigured square. Yet for some reason, even as I endured all of that pain, I believed that I would be happy and fulfilled if I could just fit in where I didn't fit in. Over the years, though, I've came to understand that no one would accept me until I accepted myself and allowed me to be me. Through self-acceptance, I learned to accept others. I was able to empathize. When I stopped focusing on me, I found the mind space to focus on others, to actually hear them, see them, appreciate them, and they, in turn, me. It felt so good to just bear my squareness and know that those around me, including me, were okay with it. During this time, I found myself in this UU church one Sunday morning. I opened the order of service knowing very little about UUism and about fell out of my chair when I read the first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Even me, I thought. I believe that every person has unique answers to their pursuit of who they truly are. And here at LCUUC, we celebrate these unique answers, allowing each of us to fit in our very own special ways. And this is why I am so very happy to be a part of this community. Thank you.
May sharing our stories always be a blessing to one another and to our community. Thank you so much. A man was delivering penguins to the zoo when his truck broke down on the highway, and a UU minister stopped to see if he could help. "I'm in real trouble," said the truck driver. "I've got to get these penguins to the zoo today, and I don't know what to do." The minister happily volunteered to put the penguins in the back of his SUV and take them to the zoo, and the driver took him up on it. After hours of repairs, the truck driver was on the road again and immediately went to the zoo, only to find that no one had seen the penguins or the minister. In a panic, he took off, heading back to where he'd had the breakdown, and he'd only gone a few blocks when he saw the minister walking across the street with all the penguins waddling in a line behind him. He stopped the truck and yelled, "What are you doing here? I thought you were going to take the penguins to the zoo." The minister looked confused but said happily, "I did. And we had such a great time. Now we're going to get ice cream. Do you want to go?" Today's designated collection will be for the Kettle Moraine Food Pantry. So loose bills and coins and any check with Kettle Moraine on the memo line will go to the food pantry. And because you never know when we may have to buy the ice cream, this morning's offering will now be given and received. Thank you so much for these gifts given and received, for the life and the work of this community, and for everything you give to this community. And one of the reasons we come together in this way is to share both our laughter and our tears. Before the service, you're always welcome to silently light a candle up here on the candle table. But during the service, we speak aloud, and the worship associate lights candles for us. So anyone who would have a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand. One of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, I'm Bev. Well, another school shooting and another child dead. We are heartbroken and frustrated and angry. And we have to continue to speak out and have our voices heard above those of the NRA and above those who, through some strange quirk of thinking, believe that teachers should all be armed and that would solve the problem.
Hi, it's Barb. Please light a candle of concern for my brother. He's going through some personal issues and doesn't have a lot of support, so we send our thoughts and prayers his way.
Hi, this is Scott. I have a joy and a concern. My joy is that we're celebrating my son Kai's 10th birthday today. And if you don't know his story, my wife and I are convinced that had we not adopted him from China, he would eventually died of neglect and starvation. And it's at times like these you reflect back and look at where he was and where he's come. It's just been fantastic. The concern is he's still got a ways to go. He has a little bit of a problem with behavioral control, and please give me strength today. This is just going to make him that much more ramped up. I hope I'm patient with him.
Hi, this is Carol. Christy, thank you for your honesty and your openness and for reminding all of us what we find here.
This is Amy. Please light a candle of joy for our son Caleb, who turns 12 tomorrow.
This is Kirsten. I have a joy. My sister from Montana is visiting us this week. Oh, her name is Jeannie.
I'd like to light a candle of concern for Kai McAlpin, whose dad is another UU minister. Kai is 2, and he is fighting cancer as hard as he can fight. If you're on my Facebook page, you'll see lots of prayer requests. So if you pray, please pray like heck for Kai.
I just wanted to add one concern and prayer request. Pam's stepfather, Jerry, who's a marvelous, gentle, loving, wise person, is dying, and probably not more than a month, probably not more than 2 weeks left on this side. So if you all could just keep Pam and her family in mind, and share your thoughts, prayers, loving kindness. Thank you.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply in our hearts, but which we have not spoken out loud here today.
For most of my life, I have thought of grace as of hope of a bright tomorrow in spite of the darkness of today. And this is true. In this way, we are all alike, walking a road to grace, hoping for mercy. What we fail to realize is that grace is more than our destination. It is the journey itself, manifested in each breath and with each step we take. Grace surrounds us, whirls about us like the wind, falls on us like rain. Grace sustains us on our journeys, no matter how perilous they may be, and make no mistake, they all are perilous. We need not hope for grace. We merely need to open our eyes to its abundance. Grace is all around us, not just in the hopeful future, but in the miracle of now. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
is the fire going out? Not in your belly, for you are still alive, but in your soul, that place where dreams fuel commitment, where longings shape actions, where meaning flames purpose, where passion ignites and rekindles your life fire. If your soul smolders, dream on, till your flame like a chalice of hope. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 30, Over My Head.
In parts of the Black activist community, there's a word you may hear, and that word is woke. So today, we're going to get woke. And what's it mean? It means that you are aware. It means you're aware of what's happening in the world, and more than that, woke means that you are taking responsibility for what you are aware of. Woke means seizing your agency, your power in the world, and using it to help restore justice. When you get woke, you see how the world has been, and you're aware of what the world can be, and you are prepared to make a change. Getting woke is a call to action. Getting woke is a refusal to accept things the way that they are, because when you wake up, You see what needs to be changed. And there is no better time to wake up, no better time to get woke than today, the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. One of the first things you do at a Rosh Hashanah service is to sound the shofar, the ram's horn. And many of you have heard this in the past. We've done it here a few years ago. It's a series of blasts. The first one is a loud sound extended for several seconds. And then there are seven more short blasts that sound almost like someone in tears gasping for their breath. And there's a reason for this. The great Jewish scholar, Rabbi Moshe ben Mammon, has written in the Laws of Repentance that the commandment to sound that ram's horn, although it's based in holy writing, it has a reason behind it. It's to waken those who have not seen the problems with their previous behavior. It's an alarm clock. It's a call to wake up. The horn blast tells you it's time to examine your life. It's time to get woke, to see what is real, and to say with certainty, I can make a difference. What is past, and now I am awake. But waking up is a beautiful thing. Opening your eyes from a troubled sleep and seeing the light. Knowing that you can go forward, knowing that you can welcome others into that same sunlight of hope and joy. It's a beautiful thing, no matter what the darkness you're coming out of looks like. You can start over in that minute when you have decided to wake up. In the book of Micah, in the Hebrew Bible, the Israelites were worried. They wanted to know exactly what their God would demand of them. In modern terms, this is us facing things like social justice, social change, gun reform. We want to know, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to take from me and my children to do this thing? The Israelites, what they were concerned with, does he want our camels? Does he want our kids? In modern terms, will I have to give up my car, my computer? Do I have to give up eating good food or going out dancing or playing music? Do I have to sacrifice my children's education, give away the money that I've saved? The Israelites said, Micah, tell us. We're not sure and we're scared. This is different. We're being asked to do something. What does God want us to do? And today we say, what does justice want us to do? They said, Micah, do we have to give up everything we own? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Do I have to give up my firstborn in payment for everything that I have screwed up? And Micah said, come on now. That's silly. Get over yourselves. God doesn't want all that stuff. God doesn't want you pitiful and destroyed and crawling. That's not what you've been asked. To them, he said, God's already told you. Listen, O humans, what is good. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly. And the beauty of all this is still true. No matter who you are, no matter how asleep you've been, no matter how full of brambles and missteps and pits and even alligators the path you've been on has been, no matter what mistakes, no matter what ignorance, the shofar has sounded. It's time to wake up. Today you can take a step toward the sun. There is always light, so do good now. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. There will be light on your path. Lin Yutang said, hope is like a road in the country, right? There never was a road there. There was nothing there. But when all the people started to walk on it, the road came into existence. And the Mott agreed. She said, hope begins in the dark, in the stubborn hope that if you just show up, try to do the right thing, dawn will come. I haven't always believed this in my life. This is a hard one, believing that it will get better, that the light's going to show up, but I've got to do something first. 7 years ago, I met a woman named Evelyn, and Evelyn was very old when I met her. She was very tiny, beautiful blue eyes and long white hair and the strongest German accent I had ever heard. Sometimes she even forgot the words in English, and she would struggle in German to try to tell us at the hospice what she wanted to say. And I'd known her for about 6 months when one day she saw my Star of David necklace. It's an amazingly conservative area of rural Ohio. And she looked at me and she said, I have one of those too. And she had me get out her little treasure box, and there in the bottom, wrapped in tissue, was this little fragile Star of David made out of silver filigree. And of course, I was a cynic. I'm already writing the story in my head because I knew she went to the local Catholic church. She didn't have any numbers on her arm, even though she was the right age. So cynical me was thinking, all right, another rich family that left Germany, way ahead of the problem, converted to Christianity because they didn't care. I was asleep. And I said something I'm sure that was pretty not bright, like, oh, that's pretty. Was your family Jewish? I'm just going about my day. And she looked at me for a long moment, this little tiny woman that I outweighed by 150 pounds and stood 3 feet taller as she sat in her little bitty wheelchair. And in a little tiny voice, she said, no, we were not Jewish. We were National Socialists. And there was a record screech and everything stopped. I said, excuse me? Could you repeat that? And she said, we were Nazis. Imagine the courage it took this little tiny woman talking to someone who was responsible for her pain medication to say this. And the only thing I could think to say is, tell me. Just tell me. She lived in a little town somewhere outside of Berlin. And when she was 16, her older brother, Henry, was 22. And one day he came home and he told his family he had been hired. He was going to be helping to enforce the new Jewish curfews, and he would have a gun, and it would help him in the party. And he said their father had to be more active to help his chances of promotion, and they weren't wealthy. So for a while, her father did that, and her mother went to meetings. And they watched as their Jewish friends and neighbors disappeared into the Jewish areas that they were being rerouted into. And then one night, her brother told them he was going to work at one of the camps, and that he had talked somebody into holding a job there for their father. After he left that night, her parents pulled Evelyn into the room and told her, we are running away. We're going to escape to America. Do not tell your brother where we are going. And this is where I got confused and I said, Evelyn, I met your brother. I met your brother Henry last week. Big guy, dark hair, dark eyes. Blue eye. Evelyn, could you explain something here? And she smiled. And she said, before we left, it took us several weeks. My father found a Jewish family that had been taken away, but their son wasn't taken away. He had been out looking for food when they were picked up. He was 15, she said, but he was so big, big and strong, so big that he could pass for 22. We gave him the papers, and he was my brother Henry, and he came with us. We brought him too. And I said, but you were Nazis, and he was a Jew. And she smiled, and she said, we were in a nightmare. And then we woke up. This is the purest definition of got woke that I have ever heard in my life. Rosh Hashanah is a reminder that it is never too late. Never, no matter what you have done, there is always the next moment to find hope, to choose joy, to start over. Your new year does not have to begin today. That's an artificial calendar. Your new year can begin any day, every day, any moment you choose to say, here is where I begin. Mary Pickford said, if you have made mistakes, there's always another chance for you. You may have a fresh start any moment you choose. This thing we call failure is not the falling down, it's the staying down, so get up. Don't let the world keep you on the ground. This country goes through cycles, asleep and awake, and asleep and awake, over and over. We hear of some new atrocity and we stir ourselves. Social media and news outlets explode, and for a few days we wake up. Someone else gets shot, Aleppo is bombed, there's a protest, we wake up. And then we go back to sleep, as if we can't see the hope, the promise of success right in front of us, if only we are brave enough to reach out. President Obama said the best way not to feel hopeless is to get up and do something. Don't wait for the good things to happen to you. If you go out and make some good things happen, you will fill the world with hope and you will fill yourself with hope. We hold the keys to changing the world one little piece at a time, one protest sign at a time, one life at a time. Sometimes one cup of coffee or one Facebook post at a time. Our lives, others' lives. We are the hope, and we can never be hopeless because we can never be denied another chance to make it right. As long as we have breath, we are the change. We are the hope. We are the joy. G.K. Chesterton said, to love means loving the unlovable. To forgive means pardoning the unpardonable. Faith means believing the unbelievable. And hope means hoping when everything seems hopeless. The shofar has sounded this morning. Get woke, because you are the light of the world and you hold the fate of the world in your hands. And you can do it. Amen.
May we hold our chalice in our heart, so wherever we go, we bring light. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 299 in the Gray Hymnal, Make Channels for the Streams of Love.
within each of our hearts there is a most glorious light. Go forth and spread the warm glow of love, pushing back the darkness. Go forth and spread your glorious light with the world. Peace, and may it be so.
Thank you.